The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 262. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail.
What up, internet?
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Monjoma.
And remember, people, we only have one planet, so make sure that we always put the plastic bottles, especially the empty ones, in the trash where they belong.
Yes, yes, there you go, man. Sound advice. All right, man.
I throw mine in the ocean.
The ocean, hey.
Little notes, I'm like, woo! Hopefully one of them will get to you, Brian.
Hey, the fishes need a place to live, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, making new corals.
Anyway, we're back with another one, man. Hope all of our American listeners and viewers had a happy holiday, you know, Thanksgiving. Hope you ate a lot, you know, drank a lot, fucked a lot, all that good stuff. You know, how'd everybody in here, except for Brian, enjoy their holiday, man?
Good. Yeah, didn't do much. I mean, I did. We did. Segue. We did do an unboxing.
Excuse me. Oh, that is a segue. What's going on, man? What are we unboxing?
That was a creepy laugh.
Manny, plug your shit, man.
Oh, he's like, yeah. Well, what we did, I mean, I wasn't hearing.
Plug our shit, basically, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So what we did over the holiday is we posted all of the unboxing videos that we did previously, as well as a new one. So we have Death Stranding, we have the Ninja Saviors limited edition, as well as Black Sad Under the Skin limited edition collector's edition, which is a game that's based on a comic book that's currently put out by Dark Horse. It's like kind of the idea of the game is it's very similar to those sorts of Telltale games, sort of semi point and click adventure-y action, you know, a quick time event action things. I haven't gotten to play the game yet because I'm knee deep in Death Stranding, but it was a really cool thing. It comes with a statue. So yeah, be sure to check those out. They're all three of those are up.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to share any Thanksgiving stories? We've got any? I didn't do enough. I just ate. That's it.
That's it. It's just ate food. Yeah. We got with the family, had the kids run around and stuff. You know
how that goes, man.
Watch football. And pretty much it. I had to work the next day, so that sucked. But yeah, but other than that, it was pretty cool. Because, I mean, usually, like, it happens to me all those holidays. Like, I have Thanksgiving off, but the day after, I don't. And I have Christmas off, and the day after, I don't. But usually at work, it's like, those are always slow-ass days. Like,
Yeah,
there's no one there. The energy's all low. Like, there's not a lot of people, you know. So it's at least it's not super demanding.
That's usually why I request that day off in advance. I'm like, there's no point. But like, it's an easy day. It's like, yeah, it's boring. It's a waste of a day. I could be home doing something else.
Yeah, playing on your arcade.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Oh, speaking of that, yeah, this is some tie-in.
Oh, segue.
Yep, this is a segue. So during this Thanksgiving break, my daughter, you know, she was home. And I had her playing on the machine, and she was like, oh, I'll play the skateboarding game, because she skateboards. And she's never played Tony Hawk, and that's right. Mm-hmm. There really is no Tony Hawk on current gens or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, so I put on Tony Hawk 2. Mind blown. Like, she was like, oh, my God, what is this? This is so crazy. This is awesome. It's open world. And then she was just like, for hours on it. And it just reminded me of how I felt when I played Tony Hawk. The first time, you're just like, wow, this is it's a beautiful game, and it holds up. It's still fun to run around and do this tricks and rail grinds and jumps. Mm-hmm. We don't have that now. And it's amazing that something like that, if someone would have told me back then that there would be this drought of skating games, especially a Tony Hawk game, I'd be like, you're full of shit. Mm-hmm. This is a huge hit. How is it possible? But
yeah, it's one of those things that just kind of like, you know, it's sort of, they made so much of them that it almost wore out its welcome at one point. And at the other point, it was just like there was nobody else was putting out any sort of real competition except for Skate.
That was later on. Yeah, and then even that we already talked about before. I mean, even Skate dried up. And I'm like, I know people are skating. Mm-hmm. I know that's still a thing. There's still tournaments. There's still X Games and all that stuff. I mean, what happened? I don't know. That's weird.
All right. Couple of things before we start here. Shout outs, first of all. We want to give a shout out to Strap4K and Black Metal Gamer for winning games from us as part of our contest last week, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, here's the thing. Contests are going to be a little different moving forward because we can't actually give you games anymore because Amazon doesn't do it at Best Buy.
So, well, PlayStation games, you can't.
You can't, like, well, the thing is that we can't give you a digital
game. Yeah, and let's just be honest. Nobody wants digital physical anymore. All these guys want digital. So, you know, nothing's really going to change. Like, we're still going to do contests. It's just we're just going to give you $60 PSN cards, you know?
Well, I mean, if you want the option of
yeah, you always have the option.
Giving over a physical one.
Yeah. But literally, as long as we've been doing this, no one has ever went for the physical copy. They don't want digital.
I mean, you know? other than you know, one time I did a giveaway for Gravity Rush 2, I gave with a I sent a copy and I gave a copy away. So,
but also just thinking out loud.
Uh-oh.
Having the names of the games, it does better for our contest than just saying we're giving away $60 gift cards.
Yeah. Oh no, obviously we're still going to do that, but you know, but I think Black Metal Gamer put it into something else. You know.
Yeah, because he said he was going to do Call of Duty because I gave him a PSN card. He's like, oh, I'll just get Call of Duty. But he ended up like
re-upping
his PSN maybe, I think, or something like that.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, if you really want to sort of control it, you kind of have to give us a physical one away.
Yeah, but
because it beats it nixes the fact that we're actually giving a specific game away.
Yeah, it does. But at the same time, if our fans don't want physical, we don't want to force that down their throat either, you know. You know, but that's why we always have the option, you know. Just be aware, if you want digital, we're just going to give you a $60 PSN card or Xbox card. Just be aware of that, you know. But obviously, if you want physical,
they end up buying another game.
Yeah. Yeah, they could buy whatever they want, man. It's, you know,
it really
doesn't matter, you know.
But I think when you say gift card or when you say an actual title, I think the other title, having an actual title, and Carl said having the actual title name in there gets people's attention.
Of course, and we're going to keep doing that.
Away a card.
We're going to keep it. That's not going to change. Just be aware that no matter what game you say, like, you're going to get a PSN card from us. You know, that's just the reality because all you guys want digital, which is perfectly fine. But yeah, because you're right. It's like if you do a contest, we're going to give away a $60 card. That's not as flashy as saying the name of the game, you know?
Yeah. Unless we start giving away special editions.
Yeah, we ain't doing that.
Man, you don't want to spend it on your fans, son.
No, you're right. Yo, Carlos, man, I'm doing this on air. I don't give a fuck. I'm having some issues getting these questions in there. Can you just throw them in there for me?
The last two?
Yeah, GZDR's questions. All right, thanks. Also, speaking about congratulations, first up, we did this already, but we'll do it again. Congratulations to Mr. Adam Vale for joining the Coalition, man.
Oh, yes.
This stuff.
Associate editor.
And on top of that, Adam is also being joined by the one, the only, the legendary Mr. Torrence Davis. He's part of the Coalition now, too, people.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Yo, man, it's like the freaking Rainbow Coalition now. You got everybody, man.
It's just funny because, like, this podcast started on SCFU and Play, right? Torrence's site. Mm-hmm. We're on the Coalition now, and now Torrence is joining us. So we're, like, kind of working together again, kind of. It's just interesting how, like, the world goes around, you know?
It's also interesting that the... this incarnation of the because I was just looking back at our old, you know, YouTube, just kind of doing some upkeep on it. And I was like, yeah, like every single episode of Throwdown, at least this current incarnation, has been on the Coalition.
Yep, every single one of them. You know, pretty interesting. We've been here for 266 episodes for both shows. Crazy, man. All right, and with that, let's get into it, man. Fan questions. So first up, Axel Wolf. AKA Apex. This guy's been around forever, you know, hardcore fan. Sometimes he goes away for a while, but he always comes back, man. So his question is, this is an interesting one too. So you guys have been throwing a lot of shade towards the Game Awards. Although I might not agree with some of the categories, nominees, or winners, I do feel they do a decent job with the Game Awards. Judging by how fans review bomb and probably don't play most games, I think it's smart to temper their vote on the awards. So my question for you guys is, how would you do the Game Awards?
We're not poo-pooing. Well, I don't remember us poo-pooing the entire award show. I'm not. Well, I think it's okay. I'm poo-pooing this one because I just think it's not fair. It's balanced, especially when you have the host and the guy running it in a game that's pretty much
nominated.
Yeah, I mean, fucking every category.
Well, so. I mean, to be honest, it's funny because this is a problem now and it's always been. And I've said this from back before you were on the show. It's like, during Metal Gear Solid 5. That Metal Gear Solid 5 also was nominated for a bunch of different categories when it was, right? And then number one, Kojima, again, he is on the friggin' advisory panel. And then I also said the same thing again when he got the
You think it's rigged now?
I think it's always been fucking rigged.
So you think it's all rigged?
It's always been rigged.
The Walking Dead.
Look at all the games on there. None of those games are games that you've never heard of, except for the ones in the indie category. And that one's sponsored. Come on.
Yeah,
from the get go. The Game Awards is a marketing thing. No other game award show. No other award show is laden with commercials during the goddamn show. When you watch the Academy Awards, they don't show you a fucking trailer for the next big Marvel movie in the middle of the damn thing, do they? No, they don't.
Right.
So what do award shows do? And this is something that the Weinstein Company used to do. They used to do is they tried to get a lot of their movies never did very well in theaters beforehand when they would release. But what they would do is they would kind of rack the vote by getting the people who were the people who voted on these things to watch these movies after the fact, and that's how they would make their money. They would get nominated or they win an award after, then it would pique interest. Oh, hey, Good Will Hunting just got an award. I never heard of this film. I guess it's a good thing. That's kind of I feel like is what's going on here in the Game Awards, where it's like they're picking those things that you know.
Yeah, so how would you do the Game Awards?
I would like to see a little bit more of a spread out. I don't want to see friggin' sport games and racing games thrown into the same goddamn category. There were a lot more racing games. They may not be AAA games, and that's the other thing. There are a lot of games that are released nowadays that range from AAA to middleware, all kinds of other different categories. I would like to see a lot of those things get a little bit more shine in between them too. Like, I cannot believe that there's only been a good 10 games.
I don't understand the reasoning behind that.
Well, they went for the big ones. That's why
they went for the popular vote. I mean, to be honest, the Game Awards. What is the Game Awards? It's not the award show is besides the point. It's a block of commercials with interspersed award show in between, with award show breaks in between. That's
what that is. Oh man,
for me, I would like more people sort of in that committee, just as many people as possible, like. Fuck it, put Tony there. Put all
how
these people.
How do you get part of it? That's the other thing.
That's the shady. Really
popular,
Yeah, it's like, and not only that, make the votes transparent. So whoever votes, you get to see what they voted for.
Well, the thing is that usually the way the vote is all anonymous. But I mean, the other thing that there's also that placebo effect of that the people choose who the winner is officially. The people, when we vote on that thing, we only account for 10% of the vote, so that means that their committee literally has way more control. Like in other words, gamers can't cause an upset in the Game Awards,
right? Yeah, and well, I mean, like, at least for just show who won, just to see, like, okay, this guy voted for this, this guy voted for this. Just you know, if people keep saying, oh, it's rigged because you're not showing who won, then that just clears everything out. And yeah, those commercials are like, show us commercials for new games that haven't been announced yet, or stuff that.
I mean, one of the things that always happens is, like, when we watch it live, the thing that always happens with us, it's hard to tell the actual commercial break away from the world premiere. It's literally like back to back to back.
I feel like it's always been like that, even before he took over, when it was on Spike TV. This is what people want to see most of the time. They want to see the world premieres. They want to see the trailers and see what's going on.
So then it's like it's weird. It's a weird situation because it's like, what's the use of having this award show at all if you're just going to be throwing a block of commercials to people? And why not just cut the awards? Yeah. You know,
right?
It's true.
Adam, isn't that what they did 1 year?
They did it, the digital one. Yeah, where the co-host got drunk and didn't give a shit he was on the show.
Yeah, they didn't do any big show, or they just showed a block of commercials.
So how would I do it?
How would you do it, Adam?
Just make it into that type of event. This is a showcase type of show, sort of like how Kind of Funny did one actually after this, where it was just indie games and it was just a showcase. They're like, hey, we talked to a bunch of indie developers. These are the games that they have that they can't afford to show, or for whatever reason it did not get shown on the big stage for things. So, like, here it is, and we're going to show them off, and just like, boom, 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 just keep blasting them out. And that's it, because that's really what people want to see. They want to see these trailers. They want to see what's coming up next and new stuff like that. So, how many people really care about who wins an award and if they get on stage and they give a little speech? That's very Hollywood. I don't think that's in the gaming world, though. I don't think people give a shit.
I mean, what if the Game Awards was more of an event that everybody could attend, like an E3, where it was like it's at a big old convention center. You have these, you know, premieres, and you can give away awards if you want. Could literally be that. It could be PlayStation. Was it the PlayStation? What do they call it? Experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris.
I think the board that chooses the categories and the finalists needs to be independent. They need to be not part of the industry at all. They need to get rid of all the industry ties. They need to get rid of their board consists of like people from Nintendo and Sony, as well, Doug Bowser's on there, whatever.
A bunch of executives, yeah.
A bunch of execs from the game companies who are up for awards. That's completely ridiculous. So that's like if you were to sue a company and the jurors were made up of executives from that company. It doesn't make any sense. It needs to be independent. It needs to either be a panel of maybe game journalist, and then select gamers, maybe they form a board every year. People can apply, but they need to be not part of the industry, especially not executives or people involved in marketing and whatever. That's completely skewed. How can you trust anything they decide on?
Like if you look at the board for the Academy Awards, right? All of it is actually a bunch of different people from different parts of the industry. It's not a bunch of it's not executives at all. So the person who's in charge of who's part of the sound section of everything, right? They have worked in the industry as a sound person. They're not an executive. You look at writing and cinematography. They've also have people that have worked in the industry, but it's like a range of different people.
Yeah, like, they have actors, they have directors, they have thousands of people in the Academy. Mm-hmm. So even if it's like, okay, the actor that was in, let's say, I don't know, a popular movie, A Star Is Born, is getting nominated that year, or like one person or like one group of people that were in that movie that are in the Academy do not sway anything, because there's just so many people there from different backgrounds and different that did different movies.
Yeah. Because I feel like also when you start having executives onto things, it also becomes the question becomes, are they paying to get a little bit more of a feature on a stage than somebody else?
Oh, they are. We all know that. That's definitely happening.
The Walking Dead proved that when it won the game of the year that year. I'm like, who the fuck remembers that game?
That was pretty good though. The gameplay and the story with Clementine and dealing with all that.
That was a Telltale game, right?
Yeah,
Telltale game.
Yeah, Brian, how would you change it, man?
Oh boy, where to start?
Oh boy.
The first thing is I 100% agree with what Manny said, which is split up the sports and racing games. I don't understand why they're in the same category. Because, well, first of all, I don't think there should be a sports game in general, because the sports games are just the same games every single year. So, the same people that put up the same games, and do you really want that as an industry? Like, hey, we will reward you for putting out the same games every single year and making it slightly worse each year. Like, is that something that we should be saying yes to? And the obvious answer is no, we should not. And I've said this like many, many times. I even said it in a tweet to him as well. Have it so that when you have the like best soundtrack and best music and all sorts, have those songs actually being played by the orchestra that is there.
Yeah.
You know, like it makes sense, right? These are the nominations, so have them being played so that even people that don't know what they are can still hear them, you know?
You can see, you can watch the performance. There's always that issue where you have like weird people like Skrillex and all kinds of other weirdos there. It's like,
didn't they do that for Star Wars?
No.
Like they did that for Star Wars. Few years back.
Skrillex, son.
What are the fucking Skrillex and whatever the other guys? Like, I don't know what the fucking DJs are, man.
Like make the game awards about actual games. Like make them front and center. Obviously, remove all the damn adverts that appear everywhere. And here's another one. Show us the damn, like, people winning the award. I'm sick and tired of hearing, like, oh, yeah, these are the winners of this category, which we gave them off-screen. It's like, the whole point of the Game Awards is to, I don't know, give awards to the games. So do that.
They do that at all award shows, though. In content, it's like, oh, the following people receive the awards.
I mean, to be honest, also, they actually do film those things. They just don't put them on they don't put them on the air anymore. But they actually still do film those things, and you can go on the Academy site and look at the other awards. They put all the technical awards off the air, you know. Hey, you know, they wouldn't put best director, but they'll put like, you know, the guy who created the motion control camera, or you know, any sort of industry sort of stuff, because apparently people find that shit boring. But granted, like the award show is like 4 hours long.
Yeah, Brett, how would you change it?
You know, I'd go back to the whole idea that awards should in theory be judged by an impartial group and just remove all the nepotism, man. I mean, if you're involved in a creation of a game, you shouldn't be able to vote for that game's category. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Slightly controversial. Limit the amount of nominations a game can get. Because I am tired of seeing the same games in like all the categories, even though it makes no sense sometimes. And this isn't just about Death Stranding. This is something that I noticed back when Modern Warfare 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is it this one game is in every single category? It doesn't feel like it's deserved of every single thing. It just seems like they couldn't find anything else to vote on. Hence, they said, okay, let's just take the game in the zeitgeist and put it in the categories and call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, having a limit to how many categories a game can be in, like 4 or 5 or something, I think will help that. It will force other games to be in there, which is a bit dumb that we have to say that we need to force other games into the game awards, but it seems like that's how things are.
Yeah,
Brian, I completely disagree with you.
Oh wow.
If
well, you're a caller, so
shocker. You know, you're good at derailing shit, man. Like in fucking GTA racing.
Damn.
Hey, holding something. That's some holdover.
Salty. Son.
Yo, if a game deserves all the nominations, then it deserves all the nominations. That's subjective at the end of the day, but
like
still.
PUBG?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just because it's a stupid thing. They want it. You know, that's like the whole issue. It's like, it's stupid to have those games nominated because they don't deserve to be nominated. But that's a different question than should a game be nominated for X number of times if quote unquote they deserve it.
So then hypothetically you'd be okay if the Game Awards was literally the same 6 games in every single category.
Theoretically, yes,
you'd be okay with that.
Yeah, but it in theory, I mean, in real life, it probably wouldn't happen.
Well,
I'm saying theoretically.
Now. We're looking at Control now. Like, how many categories are they in?
Eight.
Yeah, but
we're seeing it happening now. Like, so, like, the same games in like, eight or nine different categories. And it's like, why?
You're sounding like you know some of the people that you like to criticize, saying it's like, oh, we need more inclusion, we need more diversity, and there's
we need by the way, Carlos,
if you resort to name calling, you're losing the argument. I said if you're resorting to a name calling, you're losing the argument. Just throwing that out there.
Like, I'm just getting annoyed that I'm seeing the same five or six games that get awarded in like 80% of all the stuff, and it's like, dude, like, these aren't all the games that came out this year. Like, there were so many other games that came out this year,
which I think but
way more praise than just these top four or five games, and that's it. Like, it is ridiculous. I don't see it as an award show now. I just see it as a popularity contest. And
I'm saying if they deserve them, then the game should be nominated for as many times for the categories. If you want to diversify the category base, that's fine.
Bonds.
It's like you can have like a category where it's like, you know, best fucking, I don't know. What I'm saying is, if you have a set of categories that you're going to say, these are the categories we're going to present for our show, and a game checks the list for all of them, in theory, because I know, like, it's like subjectively, like, it might not deserve some of the categories that it's nominated for, but I'm saying in theory, if a game deserves to be nominated for that category, then it should be there. Like, if Call of Duty one day deserves Game of the Year, Best Sound Design, Best Shooter Game, you know,
it does this year. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, like, it's way better shooter than Gears.
Well.
It should be nominated.
I disagree. We'll talk after the show.
Yeah. All right. Just to move on there. The answer I want to give is fuck the award show. Just cancel it altogether. But in the spirit of things, I'm going to say stop with this whole cutoff date shit. If you're going to do it for a year, do it for the entire year. Don't be like, oh, we're not going to count games after December 10th. It's like, fucking stupid. Do the award show at the beginning of the following year. That way you can have everything. That way you could have Star Wars Fallen Order in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Every fucking year. Look at this year we have Smash Brothers as a game of the year. How the fuck is that game of the year? It didn't come out this year. It came out last year. You know? So, end that shit. Like, have it for the entire year. Do the award show in January. That's what I would change. Anyway, mm-hmm. Let's move on. Fonzie in the house, man.
What's up, Fonzie?
So his question is, how do you guys feel about microtransactions being in Cyberpunk 2077 multiplayer and being labeled as quote-unquote wise monetization? To me, I do trust the company enough that they know what they are doing regarding this topic, and I will be crushed if they fuck this up. I didn't know about this. So, Brian, what's going on with these microtransactions in Cyberpunk? You're the big Cyberpunk guy here. So what's going on?
I actually have not heard much about it in that sense. Instead, I heard that this is a slight mistranslation on what they actually said. And this is purely just based on some guy's video I seen on YouTube. And he says that there was a translation because it actually comes from them translating it from Polish, which was translated from English. So it went from English to Polish to English again. Because again, games journalists can't really do the job sometimes. So I'm not too sure exactly what that means. I'm very confused that they would put microtransactions in there. If I'm guessing what that could mean is possibly something either small or maybe some stuff like small DLCs. Again, I don't know much about it. In fact, I can go and research now and we can come back after the next question and I'll have more information.
Yeah. Brett, what's your take as you're a Cyberpunk guy?
I kind of feel like it's bullshit.
Do you know anything about this topic? Because I'm completely ignorant. I had no idea they were doing this.
Yeah, it's not Cyberpunk. It's Cyberpunk 2077 is getting a multiplayer spinoff, of which they're going to have microtransactions in that.
Interesting.
So, I mean, my biggest takeaway is like Fallout 76.
So hold on. Again, I don't know anything about this. So there's a Cyberpunk 2077 spinoff game that's coming out.
Yeah, it's a multiplayer. It's
like a multiplayer.
Interesting. Yeah, that does sound like Fallout 76, doesn't it?
It could be if it becomes successful.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know this until now. Very interesting. But I mean, the thing is, like, I guess people trust CD Projekt Red, so we'll see. But I don't know. I don't know, man. Move on. Here we go. Mr. Damien. Damien, your second question, I need to dissect this one. But let's go for your first question. Should PlayStation fans be concerned by all of the major changes happening at PlayStation at the end of this generation and going into the next one? What do you say, guys?
Read that again.
Should PlayStation fans be concerned over all the major changes happening at PlayStation at the end of this generation?
Oh, with all the layoffs.
All the guys, with the guys leaving, you know?
Yeah, there's no layoffs. I wouldn't be concerned. Like, there may have been an internal power struggle or something. Sean Layton might not have jived with other people, and that's why he was, you know, he left. But I'm using air quotes. You can't see them. You know, was probably asked to resign.
But didn't they close the division up in Europe?
Yeah, but restructuring is a part of every company. Like, sounding the alarm because there's executive changes is not really anything to worry about. Like, nobody sounded the alarm when Reggie retired. Did anybody go, oh, whoa, there's trouble? You know, usually
well, that was just me to say that. To
that was you saying that.
Right? No, no, I didn't say that. I said he retired.
You said that there's a good chance that he might have done it because of just the way the system of his
job. Oh, worked. His contract. Yes, contract. His contract was annual, mm-hmm. right? So he was his job was evaluated year over year. So they could Nintendo of Japan could can him for performance at any time. So it may have been a good time to step away. But that didn't say I didn't say like, oh, the company's having problems because he retired. Oh, right? Okay. The same thing we talked about Mike Ybarra leaving Xbox. That may have been a more personal thing. I think he had personal issues. Maybe he hit the ceiling and he couldn't go any further. Maybe he had concerns about Xbox. Maybe he had beef there with someone. I don't know. But he decided to leave. But I didn't say, oh, shit, Xbox in trouble because Mike Ybarra bounced, you know?
Yeah.
That, same thing with this. Executive things happen. We don't know what happens internally, especially at ENC level stuff, politics that go on, especially in a global company where you have culture clashes between the Western and Japanese parts. We don't know what's going on. So I don't have any reason to be concerned.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Chris, on this one. There's nothing. These type of things happen at the end of a generation. You know, there's shifting that's going around. So, you know, it's nothing really to be concerned about. I understand why some guys want it to be a concern. You know, kind of fuels the war. But yeah, nothing to worry about. You know, anybody else? Like, yeah, go ahead.
It seems like they're sort of a well-oiled machine at this point, where it's like they know who to like. They don't have one singular person that could topple their whole, you know, their status quo. So I wouldn't be worried about this.
Also, I always do the financials, right? I always do the Sony financials, Nintendo. Yep, Sony's the biggest money maker. PlayStation is the biggest money maker for Sony, period. Right? It would be suicide for them to let political executive infighting destroy that division.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Somebody would step in and clean that up. And maybe that's what happened. We don't know. But literally, it would be corporate suicide for them to destroy PlayStation with internal executive bullshit.
Here's how I view, like, you know, fucking Sony. Like, it's more like a, like, you know, that Evangelion boardroom where, like, all the people are talking and shit.
Oh, man.
That's how I view them. But, like, for example, a company like Xbox, like I think Phil has way more say in what happens on Xbox than any singular person in PlayStation does.
I can see
that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I can see that. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I don't know why people are worried. This type of shit happens all the time. All
right, I want to get to the next question. I'm ready.
Just
I'm
a
ready. I'm ready.
That's all
Chris, man, you ready, man?
Everything's exposed.
Yeah.
So everybody just hears about it all the time.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm concerned about the change of the people. I'm more concerned about like the PS4 and especially like the hard drive thing. All the stuff about like the hard drive and the custom made thing and so the custom made SSD thing that keep talking on about. It sounds way too close to the PS Vita and how it has its SD cards, and that's the main thing that's really getting to me. Everything else, I'm really not concerned.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this next question is pretty long. There's a lot of things Damian said in it, so we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to go through each point, and we're going to talk about each in turn and break things down. First part, why is it that gamers, including you guys, talking about us, why are gamers so quick to discredit everything Phil Spencer says regarding his stance on VR, but the new head of PlayStation said no one wants to play old games, so no backwards compatibility for PS4, yet it's all the talk for PS5. Stop right
Not
there.
Not me.
Yeah,
don't speak for me.
That's the first thing. We didn't discredit Phil Spencer.
No.
I didn't. Yeah, we basically pointed out, it's like, that may not have been a wise statement to make. And as a matter of fact, Phil Spencer actually rolled that statement back. His stance on VR, he said, nobody cares about VR. Like, people obviously care about VR. Even I had to eat my fucking crow on that one. People obviously care about it. And Phil Spencer realized, like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. So he rolled out. But I want to go, but I want to jump on the Jim Ryan statement. So he says, why is it that we didn't call out Jim Ryan when he said that about backwards compatibility? We did. We did call him out on it. Not only did we do an episode on that, there's a Tony's Take on it where I called him out on it. You know, like, I'm being real right now. Damian, we love you as a fan, bro, but sometimes I question, do you even listen to this fucking podcast sometimes, bro? Like, we tore that shit down. It's like, that's a stupid statement to make. Obviously, people want backwards compatibility. That was a dumb statement, and we tore that shit down. So I don't know, how is it that we said it's cool that he said that? You know what I'm saying?
No. I mean, it was bullshit back in the day when they started removing it from PS3. One thing we did say is that it's like, it's not the only, it's backwards compatibility shouldn't be the only thing that they should be selling.
Yes, exactly. All right, so that's Chris, you want anything you want to add to that?
No, it's well said. I mean, we went over the Phil Spencer thing. I said I agreed with his statement because he was looking at the Xbox segment specifically. Yeah. So I did say I agreed with him, but I said it wasn't an appropriate thing to say overall. The statement itself was bad. And I said that innovation doesn't come about if you just ask your audience what they want and go, oh, well, they don't want this. You don't know. You don't test anything. And I made the parallel to Kinect then, because I'm like, did anybody ask Xbox people if they wanted Move controls? No, they just did it. It's like, here, Move controls are hot. Let's try this, you know?
Yeah. I know you, when we were talking about this, you brought up the Henry Ford quote, the famous quote. It's like, hey, if you ask people what they wanted back in the day, what would they want? They'd be like, I want a faster horse. They wouldn't have even conceived of a vehicle, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's that part. Next part is, he also said, Jim Ryan also said, PlayStation gamers do not want EA subscription service, but now it's on PlayStation and has a faster attach rate. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, yeah, he made that statement, but does it really matter if he said that? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know why he's making a big deal out of that, you know? Here's where it gets fun. As a point of information, the original Kinect sold over 10 million units and everybody said it failed, but PlayStation VR sold 4.2 million to a user base of 100 million PlayStation sold, but it's selling well. Come on, you all need to stop frauding. Stop right there. All right, the original Kinect, right? The one that sold 10 million. I don't know where you heard that. It was a failure. That was a fucking success. It was such a success that the next system that they came out with, the Xbox One X, was bundled with a fucking Kinect, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where you didn't hear that Kinect failed from us. The second Kinect failed, but the first one was a resounding success. So yeah. Don't put that shit on us, bro.
Even Oprah loved it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know?
I mean, the 10 million comes from the 2011 metric of Kinect sales.
Mm-hmm.
Was 10 million that year. And also, Kinect set a Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest piece of electronics sold on Black Friday. So it set a record, and it sold well. We never said that it was a failure. But you can't see this. This apples to oranges comparison is not going to work. See, you're looking at the previous generation where Move controls were hot. The Wii sold 105 plus million units on Move controls. Everybody was getting in on it. Do I think Kinect did better than PlayStation Move? Absolutely. But that's what you have to compare it to. You have to compare it to Wii Motion and PlayStation Move. That's what Microsoft was trying to step into, like, oh, we need this new way for people to interact with games. VR is a different animal. It's been tried for years. Sega was making VR headsets in the 80s trying to get this stuff into arcades and whatever. So the constant failures, it's just like 3D in movies. It has been tried over and over again. Each iteration comes along and it fails. So when VR came back, when there was Oculus jumping in at Samsung, Sony, and we're like, this may not be viable. We were the big critics. Only Brett here was defending VR. Yeah. The rest of us were just like, I don't think this is going anywhere. And we were wrong, but we were not saying, like, even then, or I wouldn't have said, like, PlayStation VR will be more successful than Kinect. Nobody here said that.
Yeah, and like you said, it's apples to oranges in that case, you know?
Right. It's a different generation, right? So Kinect sales overall, if you look at overall sales of Kinect, it's probably somewhere over 30 million, right?
Yeah.
But most of those, a lot of those came from it's bundled with the Xbox One in the beginning. So you couldn't buy the Kinect in this generation. You could buy it last generation.
Yeah. And last generation, but it was a success last generation.
Right, and it was a success last generation. And now PSVR is a completely different piece of equipment from PlayStation. I can't get a PlayStation bundled with PSVR. It doesn't come with the system. People have to go out and buy that. So that people are making that choice and that adoption rate for something that we here initially thought wasn't going to do well. It did very, pretty well, so much so that Sony is actually doing another iteration of it for PlayStation 5. There's going to be a second iteration of PSVR.
Yeah. And let's just be 100 about this. PSVR is still having games being put out. They're still being supported. Unlike the Vita, let's be real here, right? This thing has already gotten more support than the fucking Vita has, you know? So, yeah, it's like, obviously, you know, 4.2 million out of, like, 100 million doesn't sound like a lot, but VR was never meant to be like this big mainstream thing. It was always, but the thing is, it's not exactly niche either, because it's in the, as we call it, the zeitgeist, you know, it's out there now, you know, so there's that. So anyway, there's a little bit more. After 3+ years, the best-selling VR unit is only at 4.0 million. If this is not the definition of niche, I don't know what is. Again, we never said it wasn't niche. But here's the thing. Is there something between niche and successful? Because it's in that point, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not exactly super niche either, but it's not like mainstream or whatever. All generation gamers complain Microsoft has no games, so they went and bought studios to create games. So now this loud minority has moved the goalpost again with this VR talk. VR is just 3D, like 3D technology. It did not take off. Dude, everybody here except for Brett, who said this shit's going to take off, we all are eating crow about this shit. It succeeded, you know? So I don't know how you say it failed, you know? I don't understand that.
I mean, I'm the biggest advocate, and it's actually still right where I said it was going to be, so.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, even Sony said this shit exceeded their expectations. How well it's done, you know?
And let's look at the reality of it. We conjecture here, we make predictions and speculate constantly. We're not running Microsoft.
Yeah.
Where's the Kinect now? Where is it? Right? It was so successful, right? Where is it? Yeah. Either you can't get one anymore. You can go on eBay and get one. And the current SKUs don't even have a port for the Kinect anymore. So that was Microsoft's decision to kill it. Why? Because the software wasn't moving.
Exactly.
You can put out as much hardware as you want. If nobody's buying games to play against it, if people are tired of motion controls, well, then guess what? It ends up being a failure.
Yeah. Yet, PlayStation VR games come out every single month, nonstop. Yeah. You know? They got the hardware for it. And not only PlayStation VR games, but games that are compatible with it. You know, regular games that are compatible with it. So it's definitely found its audience, you know? You know what this reminds me of? The whole Kinect talk. Remember Other Zinc, that crazy bastard? Oh. He was always saying, like, oh, yeah, Kinect's going to be the thing that separates Xbox from you know, the competition. Speaking about the Xbox One, look where that went. You know, they got rid of Kinect the next year.
Well,
you
know? he was right. It separated him from the competition.
Yeah, that is true, but not in the way they wanted, you know?
You know?
Oh, man. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this Damien stuff?
I mean, all he's trying to do is trying to say that Kinect was a success, and no one's saying it wasn't. I don't know. I guess it just depends on what you qualify as successful. It's like financially, I don't know how much R&D went into this thing and how much, you know, they developed video games, they developed the hardware. You know, Project Natal took fucking years to come out to light. And it sold, what, 10 million in the first year or so, when last gen? So if that made its money, then I guess it's a success. But it was definitely a failure for the Xbox One.
Yes, yeah, exactly. The one for 360 was a success. The one for Xbox One was a failure.
Yeah, because it single-handedly torpedoed the Xbox One. It's like there's no reason why the Xbox One should have came bundled with that and added to the cost, because that was one of the deciding factors for why PlayStation outsold freaking Xbox One from the get-go. So, yeah, I guess if you want to live by that success measurement, then go ahead, keep it.
Right. Yeah. I just don't like Damien putting words in our mouth that we didn't say, especially when it's all documented. You know what I'm saying? This is some hidden podcast. It's all up there, you know, for posterity, people. You know.
And by the way, I have a Kinect. That shit was never plugged in. Oh no, it was plugged in, but I turned it on because it had to be plugged in. Remember when the Xbox One came out?
Yeah.
It's like it has to be plugged in all times, but it was fucking bullshit.
I was watching you jerk off and shit, you know.
Yeah, that's so as soon as I got it, I plugged it into the Xbox One and turned it on the other side. Put a fucking towel over it or whatever, like a microfiber cloth, because that shit, I don't want people spying on me.
I'm gonna butcher your name. Ishotia. He goes, Damien sounds like a Kmart employee arguing about them being more successful than Amazon.
Damn.
Oh, ask Damien where's Milo. Damn, you guys are hardcore in the comments. Fuck.
I just wanted to say, like, this, it's not bad for what is at its heart prototype. Like, one of the things I think he's kind of missing when talking about this is, you know, like I said, I'm pretty much the biggest advocate of VR, and even I said this thing's not going to take off on this iteration.
Not pretty much, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. This is a test bed for enthusiasts and to test the market. And the fact that Sony said that they sold more systems than they thought actually kind of goes against the narrative that he's painting, that, you know, it's not being adopted, it's not taking off. It's actually gaining traction. It's going to get a second version. They are continually releasing games for it. Now, not only are there just a few obscure games for it, like, there's some real, you know, big games there that are this close to being system sellers. They're considered like must owns as soon as you buy, you know, the system. So I'd say all in all, it's not just kind of on track for where we said it was going to be, but it's kind of actually further ahead.
Yeah, for sure. You know, all right. Moving on, Mr. Black. What's up? What's up?
Just a quick thing. I'll give Damien some fuel to his fire, or I don't know. I don't even know how to say it. But I still don't, I know, like, we're kind of eating crow. We're eating crow on PSVR, but I still don't think it's as successful as people think. Well, it's like, yeah, 4 million units is cute, but it's. I think Sony is just, you know, doing their little, okay, we're dipping our toes into, like, we're slightly dipping our toes into this market. There's still no full commitment to VR, and that's why it's not even doing even better than it's supposed to, because all the other VRs are doing pretty good. Yeah. So I don't see why PSVR can't thrive like the other, like its competitors are.
I mean, the technology is still kind of in its infancy. I mean, games wise, I don't put it against Sony for not putting more in this first iteration. Like, yeah, let them figure out some of the big problems with it, like motion sickness and resolution and game. I mean, there was a power throttle, or there was a power bottleneck that you were hitting that just wasn't making things really want to jive. Like, I wouldn't have committed 100% either, but, you know, what we got was pretty good. So I think the big tell will be what happens with their new headset, the new system. because that's going to be the default standard for the next 7 to 10 years. You know, we're not necessarily going to bump the horsepower of the system up, and if we do, it's not going to be so much that it excludes, you know, basic games from being run. So here's our chance to really step up, take advantage of the power. Here's a chance to step up, take advantage of the power, use new hardware that's been dialed in and designed for this, and see if there's any traction that we can get. Till now, it's, yeah, it's just been this kind of niche, small enthusiast thing that's actually gotten more traction than niche and enthusiast, but hasn't quite broken out in the mainstream.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's move on, man. Black Metal Gamer, what games have the most bullshit, annoying as fuck tutorials or intros?
Apex Legends.
Oh, that was bullshit. Yeah.
It Apex Legends made you go through a tutorial. I'm like, motherfucker, I know how to play this game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even need to play it.
Yeah.
It was pretty long. Yeah. I'm like, why are you making me do this? It's like, you're not doing anything new here. You know, it's a battle royale shooter. I think I know how to navigate through this. Make it optional, you know? I don't think it was even optional.
Brett, what was your answer again?
Oh, Skyrim.
Oh, what was wrong with it?
The wagon intro?
Yeah. I didn't play Skyrim, so I don't know what happened.
It took for goddamn ever. Like, I know the, like...
That wasn't a tutorial, though.
Tapped out. Like, well,
it is an intro. It is an intro, so that counts.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. But Brett... Oh shit! Robot,
no, robot. Oh! I gotta blow my nose.
Brett, if I remember correctly, you're still sounding. Brett,
disconnect and come back, man.
Maybe you're with the crickets or something.
No, that's not the crickets. It's definitely interference of some kind.
Oh no! Like maybe he's outside.
Oh, maybe he is. Yeah.
Nah, I'm inside.
Okay, you're sounding better now, but
say something again, bro.
Is that better?
Ooh, yeah,
oh, you're good.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't with the crickets.
I don't know. It's not being on top of a... Oh, wait, hold on. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, well, you're on a cart and you're like a prisoner or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, have to sit through that long fucking wagon ride. I know like 3 people that tapped out of the game just because of that. They're like, nope, I don't have the patience for this shit.
And right after that is Brett's favorite part, is the character design.
Yeah, they seamlessly emerge into the clunky introduction. Because there's nothing like being called by a prison guard and having them go, "What race are you? Really, bro?"
Yeah.
You can't tell if I'm a dragon or a half-elf?
I can see what you're saying.
Anybody else? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Was Gears 5 tutorial optional?
No, you can skip that. That was the boot camp thing. I was going to say it too, but that was skippable. A lot of people didn't know that. They were like, oh, I don't want to have to. No, you can skip that. You didn't have to play it.
Yeah, because I remember I played it for a while, and I'm like, why? And it kept going. And it kept going.
I think I told you. I told you you could skip that shit, because a lot of people were saying the same shit. They were like,
yeah, and then I found out you could skip it, and I'm like, oh, okay, thank you.
I played that over the weekend. They gave us some Thanksgiving gifts or something like that. I don't know. All these weird pop-up stuff.
Excuse me?
All right, anybody else want to go? We're all drawing blanks tonight on this shit, it looks like. The thing is, tutorials, I don't really mind too much. I guess, you know, and I'm not going to name any names specifically. I, again, literally can't think of any. But like, games that, like, fucking, like, 10 or 15 hours in are still giving you a tutorial. It's like, yo, what the fuck, man? Like,
Dude, I had some beef with God of War for that reason, actually.
Which God of War? The new one?
The Dad of War? Yeah, like, just not any real beef, but, like, that title intro, like, came in way, way too late. I'd already been playing the game for, like, 6 hours at that fucking point or something.
Yeah, it depends on how you do it, because that's actually one of the things I liked about, like, Metal Gear Solid 3. I'm like, I played for 2 hours, and then the title screen's coming up. I was like, oh, shit, I just played this intro. This is crazy. But you're right. Any later than that, it's like, yo, what the fuck? I'm already, like, ingratiated into this shit, you know?
I've been playing this for 2 days.
Yeah.
Can I answer for someone?
Uh-oh. Yes. Yes, you can.
This person is not on this show. This person doesn't even know me. But I know Dean Takahashi's selection for tutorial.
Oh,
yeah, you know what he hates.
Yo, man, he hates that Cuphead tutorial, man.
Oh.
Nerd. It's a Cuphead tutorial?
Yeah, there is, man. He had difficulty with it, man.
Oh, that one. I don't remember playing the Cuphead tutorial. I just went right into the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you know how to play games. That's what. Oh. All right. Anybody else, man? It also feels like we answered this question before in the past, too. Anyway, it let us rib on Dean Takahashi, so that's always a good thing. Here's another question. It feels like we answered this one before. Which game developer do you feel needs to branch out and try new genres? That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel like we answered that already.
Yeah, it was probably a black
familiar, game. But I'll answer again.
Go ahead.
Naughty Dog. They need to change gears. Like, I'm tired of like these games where you play as a sad man. It's like, dear God, like change it up.
Well, Last of Us 2, you're not going to be a sad man.
Oh, yes, you play a sad little girl. Yes, well done, diversity. Do you mind? You should make games better. How about Crash Bandicoot, man? Come on, man. Like, we all love that stuff.
The new Crash Bandicoot, he's going to be a sad Bandicoot.
You'll bring back Jack and Baxter, man.
He's going to be in a post-apocalyptic future. Where you know everything that he has ever known has died or been destroyed.
There is a Bandicoot. I don't know if it was original, but there is a Crash Bandicoot game on Uncharted 4.
Yeah, there is.
But
Jack and Daxter too, man. Bring that shit back.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with Brian with this. Like Naughty Dog, like we know they can do this third person shooter cinematic game. Pretty well, yeah. Like just stretch your wings to something else.
Yeah, I think we've not only have we answered this before, but I think we've gotten this question from Black Metal Gamer before specifically.
Yeah, I'm weirdly gonna say,
and I'm pretty sure we got the same answer from Brian before.
I don't know that many people should. Like every time I see a company I love try and do something new, and they're like, "We're sick of doing this one thing. We're gonna branch out into this other thing." It's kind of fucking terrible.
I guess it depends on the company. Like Ninja Theory does a good job of switching genres. Who's Outer Worlds?
Obsidian.
Obsidian did a really good job.
That's their bread and butter.
But isn't it like a little bit different than?
No. It is 100% Obsidian. It is like a love letter to Obsidian gamers. That's one of the reasons it's great. Trying to think of specific examples, and of course I'm not going to be able to think of them right now, but like BioWare, Anthem,
BioWare, yeah, sure. I got another one. Fuck, and I just forgot it.
Uh-oh.
What the fuck was I going to say? Insomniac. Insomniac does a pretty good job.
They do. I'd say at best it's 50-50. At best.
Yeah,
and most of the time you'd expect to be like, this is a talented group of developers. They'll be able to obviously fix onto a new set of rules and make something really great. It may have some kinks to work out, but it's gonna be pretty good. And then like half the time you're just like, oh my god, this is terrible. Bethesda and Brink. Ugh.
Yeah, and it also doesn't help that a lot of the studios right now are just like the big ones are just dedicated. Gears and Halo factories and Mario factories and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Well, and I'll be honest. I think a lot of those are so worn in their ways that a lot of the original talent has actually departed. They're just kind of following the rule book.
Yeah.
Like the older I get, the more I believe in the talent of one individual can skew a whole team so immensely, so easily. And honestly, the reason I see that is because I see it happening more and more as my life goes on, even including multi-person production teams. I mean, Manny, for example. Have you ever known somebody who does a really good job of just one part of a comic book, pull the entire comic book up by their talent?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you want to think it's going to get middled out, but it doesn't.
You hear the situation, yeah. Like you always have like situations where it's like you'll have like a lot. I mean, that's most of the '90s for you. You have decent, you have pretty good looking artwork, you have great looking artwork, and then you have these kind of weak stories.
Yeah, yeah, and but it kind of pulls them up.
now it's kind of like the reverse, where it's like you have these really great stories, but you have these weak artists.
Yep. So I got to think that, you know, if you like work at Ubisoft, for instance, right? Like, how many true, like, A-League heavy hitter talent workers do you have in your pool? Because not all, if you have a workforce of 180, right? Not all 180 of those motherfuckers is talented, right? Like, some of them are going to be fucking below average. They're going to be phoning it in. And there's going to be a lot of people in the middle, and then there's going to be some people who are very highly talented. But then you have these people, these people that breed ideas and rise, you know, the cream of the crop, if you will. And yeah, a lot of times they do rise up and they get, you know, more people put under them and they can do really good things. But the problem with this industry is that people are transient. That talent eventually leaves. Yeah, it could land somewhere else, and that's fucking great. I'm not talking about that. But what I am saying is, if you're Ubisoft and you're cutting the budget, the nature of business is, you know, the people who rise to the top, the tall poppy, a lot of times they get cut out. And we've seen it happen in video games so many times where they, you know, mass layoffs of the upper echelons, and they're kind of left with the dregs. They're like, ah, the dregs will train up. But all they really do, from what I've seen, is follow the rule book. Sometimes they make good additions, and a lot of times they make a solid game, but they don't reinvent the wheel. I don't know that the Stan Lees of the world are a dime a dozen. I actually think that there are people who are that talented, I guess. Does anybody else feel that way, or does everybody else feel like it's kind of a group, full team effort?
Nah, there's always that one guy that's above the rest. That's just how it is, you know? I agree with that. Like, you really can't have one guy that just push everything along, you know? We see it all the time, actually. All right, moving on here. Gee, Megaforce 123. This is an interesting question. Will Half-Life Alyx affect sales of Cyberpunk 2077? Right now, VR is not owned by a lot of people. However, it'll be foolish to underestimate the importance of Half-Life and Valve. I can see Alyx breaking sales records when it's out. Half-Life is coming out in March, while Cyberpunk is coming out in April, provided it doesn't get delayed like The Witcher 3. According to CD Projekt Red, they are not worried about Half-Life Alyx because they think it's still going to be a game for the niche market. So yeah, I guess games are coming out pretty close to each other. He just wants to know if we think the sales of Half-Life are going to affect Cyberpunk. I don't think so.
I don't think they'll directly affect, but they'll affect headlines, the battle for headlines.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I think they're selling up to two different audiences, to be honest. So I don't think so. I don't think it's going to affect it. Cyberpunk is going to be a huge fucking game. Anybody disagree with that assessment? Half-Life?
I mean, it's a big game, yeah, but is it for everybody? That's the thing. Is it going to be that type of huge? I don't know. I mean, Witcher was great, but it wasn't on that level.
Actually, it was. It was one of the biggest selling games of the generation.
I don't think so.
No, you look at the numbers, man.
I can't go off of numbers. I'm going off of, like you said, the zeitgeist.
That's the only thing you go off of numbers.
People don't really give a shit about it.
I don't give a shit about The Witcher, and I admit it's one of the biggest games of the generation.
It's a big game, but it's not one of the ones that when people think of, like, wow, massive games that I want The Witcher.
Yes, it is, man. Discounting that, the sales tell everything, man. The sales tell it all.
Don't matter. There's a lot of people to
sales
buy.
Sales don't matter. Sales is the only thing that matters in the end of the day, man.
Yeah, man.
Sales is the only thing that matters at the end of the day, you know?
But then Death Stranding's winning everything, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but if it doesn't sell, then what does it matter? You know?
That's the whole thing we're talking about. It's about the game itself.
Yeah, but we're talking about... he's specifically asking about sales here. Come on.
It's just about sales.
He's talking about sales. And, you know, sales are the real measure of any game success.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just be real here. All right, let's move on. Do you consider gaming to be a cheap hobby? I personally think gaming is one of the most cheapest hobbies that isn't free a person could be into, especially when compared to other luxuries like vacations, big houses, fancy cars, etc. Even when compared to other electronics like smartphones and tablets, which on average these days are more expensive than even a gaming PC, gaming is relatively cheap. I don't know, man. Gaming could get pretty fucking expensive, man. You got to buy consoles, you got to buy games, you got to buy accessories, updates, all this other shit.
Okay, first of all, like, what other hobbies are there exactly? Because I'm trying to think.
Millions.
And, like, the ones I can think of, like, they all seem to be either the same as gaming or possibly more than gaming.
Yeah.
Like, look at,
I mean, gaming. The video game is the cheapest form of gaming.
Yeah. But like, I mean, is he really comparing like collecting games to collecting cars? That's kind of out there, man.
Well, no, dude. Like, look at it this way. Even video gaming is the cheap.
You cut out, bro.
You cut off on the punchline too.
Yeah.
Video game is the cheapest form of gaming hobby you can have. It's cheaper than tabletop.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than minifig. It's cheaper than deck building. It's cheaper than board games.
Yeah, no, I agree with that with gaming, but I still think gaming is it could be pretty expensive. If you're really dedicated to it, get pretty expensive. But most hobbies are like that.
Everything can't. Funko Pops, people go nuts on those shit.
It's not. Basically, my point is like gaming is not any cheaper or more expensive than other hobbies that are out there. You know, it depends on how like hardcore you are about the shit. You know.
Yeah, like if you're Jagon, you know.
Yeah. Right.
To him, remember he said. He's like, get a car, Jagon. I was like, I don't care. It's like, rather waste it all on video game. It was either a car or two Titans.
I don't think you could say, you know, unless you compare it to other forms of games, you could say gaming is cheap. It all depends on the person, you know?
But relatively, though, I think gaming is pretty cheap. Like, for example, I don't know if this is a hobby of mine, but like this year, for example, I've traveled a lot. And the money I spent traveling is way more than the money that I spent in video games in the last 5 years. Yeah. That includes buying consoles. So
is traveling really a hobby?
Yeah. A lot of people do traveling.
Oh, yeah, that is a hobby.
All right. I was legit asking because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And there's different types of travelers, too. There's those backpackers that, you know, get on like cheap flights because they wait. What do you call those? Standbys and, you know,
cancellations and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Those type of people that try to like save money because they want to go everywhere. And then there's also people that are just, you know, going to luxurious hotels and, you know, going to the fucking Maldives and shit.
There's extreme survey. I think there should be rankings to this because cars inherently are very expensive, especially if you collect classic cars. Like if you're like Jay Leno and you can throw $200,000-$300,000 at a time at a vehicle, you know, that's going to be like, you know, you'd be set if you had that much money just for gaming, right? But if you look at like collecting reasonable things like comic books, stamps, action figures, whatever,
license plates.
Oh, sure, you could collect those. I think. That it can get pricey, especially depending
on what. Isn't that more of a collection than a hobby, though? Like, I know some people are like, my hobby is collecting something, but hobbies are more like, in my opinion, like, I've known many people to do sea car racing or woodworking.
If you're into racing, if you're talking about like street racing and stuff like that,
remote control car racing, remote control car racing, or woodworking or golf.
Right, depending how serious your hobby is, if you're gonna say like I'm competing professionally, this is my hobby, or not professionally but amateur, but I compete and I do remote control racing, then you probably have a set of cars. They're probably all modified. You have to buy special parts for them. That probably can get pricey, right? But if you do that with gaming, then you're gonna have a very expensive PC, multiple monitors, multiple consoles, and then you buy your games, right? So it's not cheap, I don't think. It's depending on what level you're at. I think that's where my point is. Like, depends on the level you're at. Like, when I go out to buy classic games, I see people spend thousands of dollars. I saw a guy drop $2,000 at one booth to get a boxed edition of Earthbound.
Damn.
Right? Yeah. I'm not spending nearly that type of money. I get a few Genesis games here and there. Maybe I get some for Tony, whoever wants it. But I mean, like one game, you just drop like easily, just like two. I want this, you know. So he has that spending power, but that's expensive right there.
But on the other end of it, like casual gaming can cost you as little as like a game a month, which is, you know, $60 versus, say, just going out and drinking with your friends. Like, that's one night of drinking versus an entire month of gaming.
Yeah, but if you're casual, I don't consider that a hobbyist.
Well, even better, Brett, you can just go and subscribe to stuff like Game Pass or something and pay, what, like $6 a month? Or, sorry, $6 like a year or like $100 a year and get like expanding games like to play. So it has
that's what I'm saying. Like, gaming can be really cheap. Like, and I think that's the point he's making. Like, of course it can get expensive like many hobbies, but like the entrance bar to gaming after the consoles bought, like, say, like the entrance bar to golfing after the clubs are bought, like, hour for hour, man, it is one of the cheaper hobbies. I'm not gonna say it's the cheapest, but you know, it's not that expensive, all things considered.
I also want
to
add
I disagree.
That.
I think
about going to the movies, like people that are movie buffs buying Blu-rays and stuff, that's still cheap too, because those movies have dropped in prices.
Yeah. Chris, you were saying?
I just disagree because I think the barrier to entry is higher than most other things. If I'm gonna say like collect figurines and paint them, right? Then I could go down a rabbit hole where it's like, oh, I learned about better paints. Oh, I want I want porcelain, and that's more expensive than
Warhammer stuff can get.
Yeah, you know, and then you can go down that rabbit hole, and that grows and grows. But the same thing happens with gaming. If you want a hobby, it's like, oh, I need a new video card. Spend $12,000 on a brand new 2080 Ti, and then I need more RAM. I need faster RAM, and you know, I need a new board because I got the new AMD Ryzen came out. I'm going to switch boards and then get a new computer. That kind of stuff, once you start going down a rabbit hole, it gets very expensive. But the barrier to entry to that is higher than most other things. If I walk into a comic shop right now and go, I want to start collecting books. I'm going to go look at the Golden Age books, whatever. What's your barrier to entry? You just have to buy the comic. You don't need hardware or anything else to do it.
Yeah. I do want to just add that I do think you do get more bang for your buck with gaming, right? Like, games are expensive, $60, but you get a lot of time. You know, it's better than, like, you know, spending $30 at the movie theaters, you know? You're just there for 2 hours. You spend, you know, you like, what is it? The ticket's $15, and then plus snacks and all that shit. It could get pretty expensive, but that's only, like, 2 hours. Games, $60, you could be there for years, potentially. So you definitely get more bang for your buck. But I agree that gaming is, you know, can get pretty fucking expensive. You know, it could get pretty expensive, especially if you're buying a bunch of shit.
I mean, look behind Adam.
Look at that. That shit was
that's his hobby. Those arcade one-ups, you know, it's like you could go down there, too. And I love that he has those things, but that's not cheap either.
Yeah, exactly. You know. All right, man, let's move on. Tennessee Sooner.
Motherfucker.
Go ahead.
I didn't get to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's a little bit of column A and column B when it comes to how we, if you want to go deep, just like anything, it can be an expensive hobby, right? But if you're you make that initial investment, in buying the console, and then maybe every month or two you're buying a game, I wouldn't say that was that expensive if you were just going kind of a regular enthusiast sort of thing. But if you want to go that next level and you want to have all the stuff, obviously, yes, it can get.
Yep. All right, anybody else?
Gambling is a hobby and it's expensive.
Yeah. All right, where the hell are we?
It's addictive.
Yeah, right? Games could be addictive too, though.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember the whales?
Yeah,
not this gen.
Oh, shit. All right, man, Tennessee Sooner in the house. He said, I saw a video where it said that developers are upset with Xbox because they have not sent out development kits for Scarlet yet. He said that Microsoft is trying to avoid leaks. Have you guys heard about this, and how do you feel about this, if it's true? I did not hear about this.
What was it, the hint they said? They just make the game on the high-end PC. Thanks.
Oh, shit. Maybe that's what's going on, you know?
Like, that's it. Yeah, I definitely believe that.
You're right. What specialty hardware is the Scarlet going to have? It's a fucking PC, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you don't really need dev kits right now. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add to that? I think
unless it's
do they have benchmarks?
They do, from what I heard.
That's all you need.
Yeah, they have benchmarks. Yeah. Yep. I think that pretty much answers that.
I think maybe the Scarlet is probably going to be more of a, you know, at least the initial idea is like, yeah, they're just using the benchmark of what they're going to supposedly hit. And then maybe, you know, that later on they'll start getting those kits. Because I think the Scarlet also has a crazy 8, you know, hard drive as well, you know, solid state as well, like the PlayStation.
All right, this next question is kind of interesting. What game most accurately describes your personality or your life?
Oh, we did this.
Did we do this?
We had something like this, too.
No, it was something like that, but it was like, what game I know what you're talking about, but it wasn't exactly a game, you know? It was like, who is this person? Who is most like who on Throwdown? Something like that.
Mm.
But in the spirit of that question, I'm going to let the other guys answer it because I don't know the answer. So let's go down the line. This will be fun. Let's start with Carlos. What game do you think describes this guy's personality or life?
This guy's?
Yeah, you.
Who's this guy's? You, oh, my. Oh, okay. You said this actually, guy's on my. Who's
yeah.
guys?
Yeah, who you's guys? Actually, Carlos, you can answer first, and then we'll answer too.
Which game best describes my life
or personality?
Or personality? Ooh, I think I don't know. Yeah, come back to me on that.
Yeah, I can't even think of a game that I think of you. Like maybe Persona 5, you know. You like Japan and Asian shit. So
yeah, but that guy doesn't have a choice. He lives there, you know.
Let's see. Mine, Hagar from Final Fight, life is hard. Go full force and like everybody's a fucking crook and you gotta punch him in the face. And that's it. That's how I live.
So Final Fight for you then?
Final Fight.
All right.
I would say my life is like Monster Hunter.
Oh really? How's that?
A rapid repeating cycle of I asked for this and oh god, why is this happening to me?
Oh shit. Manny, what do you say?
My life is like Death Stranding. I'm always walking around delivering shit.
Oh, damn.
walking up all these hills, trying to stay out of the bad fucking neighborhoods.
That's it. You gotta know where you're going. Zigzag.
Spooks.
Oh shit, I got one for myself. Katamari Damacy. I roll around, I pick shit up. <You know? laughs> It just sticks to me, man. Oh man. Brian.
I'd say Just Cause. Because my life is all about just looking at a problem and seeing, okay, now how can I approach this slightly differently than last time without getting bored?
I like that answer. All right, Chris.
I don't know, man. I got no idea.
Waffles? No.
Yeah, right, man, that'd be depressing. For the rest of my life was like that.
Watch Dogs 2 because the dude is a coder and he's Hispanic. There you go.
But Chris is not Hispanic though.
No, I'm talking about myself.
Oh, okay. Oh, for yourself. Okay. Now we need one for Chris. I was gonna say Castlevania, but I don't know how to make that clever.
You like Castlevania, don't you?
Chris,
let's help Chris out. What game do we think for him?
Either go the Indian route or go the charts route or
the charts route.
Yeah,
The Witcher.
The Witcher.
Yeah, The Witcher. You think you got him, but the Chris always gets you pinned through meticulous planning and foresight. I was like, I gotcha. He's like, I got a silver sword there. You're like, motherfucker.
I like that, Fred.
Yeah, like that's a good one. All right, Barry Byrne says, mine is Resident Evil Revelations 2 because it sucks and you're not even in it half of it. And Barry Byrne is in the game, man.
Oh.
All right, man. What the fuck are we? All right, GZDR in the house, man. Okay, if you could live... Hold on. No, we answered this question already. If you could live in any... Yeah, if you could live in any video game world, which would it be? We answered this one already. So his other question is, what video game trilogy would you want to be remastered in 4K 60 frames for next generation?
What trilogy?
Mass Effect. I'm just throwing it out there. Mass Effect.
Yeah,
Metal Gear Solid.
that's a fiveology.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I was thinking of Mass Effect. Mass Effect.
Yeah, I said Mass Effect, bitch.
You did? Never mind.
Let's go Syndicate, old school.
4K 60 frames.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Mind control people, have them do fucking shit.
Will you allow, games that are part of a quadrilogy or quintilogy or whatever the hell that shit is?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with Manny. The first three Metal Gears.
Not 4 and 5, man.
Nah, those are still fresh in my mind.
All right,
I don't remember what the hell happened in the other ones.
You know what they are about.
Yeah.
Yo, shit happened in them.
Yeah, man, shit happened. I had to install shit. Every Chris. Fucking chap.
Yeah, Chris, trilogies.
Ah, shit. I can't think of one.
I'll come back to you. Brett?
What exactly is the question?
What trilogy do you want to see remastered next generation?
Yeah, y'all just been talking about trilogies I've been behind. Dragon Age.
All right, there you go. Oh, okay. Yep, that is a trilogy.
Wait, what did you say?
Excuse me?
Dragon's Age.
There you go. Oh, I thought, did I stutter?
Almost slipped up.
You know? I had to check that ass, man.
To check yourself.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because I can't
answer. That's a fact.
No, I can't say the rest on air. Brian.
I've been thinking, but I really don't know. It's a tough one.
Oh, shout out to Kristen. She said Dead Space. That's a good one.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That,
yeah. Bring that back.
All right. I'm going to say Max Payne.
Ooh, okay.
I'd like to see that. And a runner-up, Fallout.
Oh. So remaster of the original Fallout?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you have to remake the original games because they were kind of isometric.
Mm-hmm.
Top-down strategy games, not like
the Interplay ones, right?
Yeah, the Interplay ones.
Oh, man. If I can relive Fallout 3 in 4K, 60 frames, excuse me?
Caden Tonio says, remaster Metal Gear Solid 4 so emulators don't have to work so hard. Eh. Infamous. The Infamous trilogy, all right, at least for the first two. All right, that's what he says.
I was just about to say, like, that's a good choice, but 2 out of 3. Come on, we need 3 out of 3.
3 was that dock worker game was not a favorite.
By the way,
was 3 Second Son, or was there actually
Second
a 3?
Second Son was the third one, yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Shenmue.
Yeah, sure. Hey, it's your pick, right?
The third one isn't out yet.
Yes, it is.
It's
the third
dig.
One is out.
Is it?
I've been playing it, you know. My review is up on geek.com, by the way, people. This is for the last question. GZR says, Adam, you, Wreck-It Ralph. That's what you remind him of.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
Like that. GZR says, Resident Evil, the first three, and Resistance. Oh, yeah. Remember Resistance? That was a trilogy.
Yeah. What the fuck, man? Why did they abandon that?
Oh, Resistance was so good.
Yeah, that was such a good franchise.
You know what's funny? Because Insomniac actually tweeted a picture of it today. And, like, and people are like, oh, shit, they're bringing it back.
No, I doubt it. They're the Spider-Man company now.
Yeah, that's it, you know?
Spider-Man company.
Spider-Man now. Yeah, they're going to make that shit until it stops selling like crazy.
We want to do a Resistance game. You want to do what? What are you talking about?
Spider-Man?
Did you not see the check that we just wrote you guys?
You know what's crazy? Think about this. Yo, this is crazy, though. How many gamers know about Resistance? It doesn't. To me, it seems like a game that came out not too long ago, but it's like, no this shit was like at the beginning of last gen.
Yeah, man.
These Fortnite people don't know anything about Resistance. Man, I'm old. That's it.
Yeah, I think we're done here, people. We know Glorious Word didn't show up this week, man. Disappointed, man. Disappointed.
What's going on in Australia, man?
Yeah, man, what's going on over there? Nothing. Actually, yeah, this week's going to be our last normal, quote-unquote normal episode of the year, because after that's going to be specials and all that. We're going to do the Game Awards special, not this week, next week, and then after that, the year in special. Be crazy, man. Maybe we'll get Torrance Davis on, man. As a matter of fact, what am I talking about? Yeah, we will have we are gonna have Torrance on this Thursday, man.
Let's get him.
Yeah, so it's gonna be
so
fun. Yeah, what's up?
So this Thursday is the 5th of December.
Yeah.
We're gonna have Torrance on. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be the last regular throwdown of the year.
Yeah.
Then the 12th, which is the next Thursday, is the Game Awards.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 19th is going to be the Game of the Year, end of year special.
Yep. There you go. Okay. And Carlos, for you, man, the last episode of Throw Down Your Questions for the Year, which will be that Sunday, AMA, baby.
Let's go!
AMA, baby. And three questions for people, man.
Yo, man.
I know that's your favorite, man, so get ready.
Yo, man, it's on.
They're going to be a three-hour show that night, man.
She might be getting a little interesting.
Should be crazy. So, yeah, when is that one going to be? I love how dependable we are. The 22nd. the AMA special. Yep. That'll be episode 264, I believe. Yeah, I think it's 264. No, wait.
265.
Excuse me?
It's crazy, right before Christmas.
Yeah, right before Christmas. And then we're going to do our usual. We take 2 weeks off, recharge the batteries, come back with that fire next year.
Next year
is going to be interesting with the consoles coming out and everything. All that speculation at the beginning of the year.
Yoga Flame.
Whoa, yeah. Get ready, man.
Yoga Flame.
Yoga Flame.
We got more people in the industry in this show. It's like, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and we have more contests. It's going to be nuts, man. But we'll keep you updated. Blow that fire. All right, man. We're out of here. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us questions in the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Jesus.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real.
Brian Monjoma.
Later, pod people.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Peace out.
Later, guys.
Peace.
Deuces.